those questions. And there's some excellent questions, really insightful questions. Thanks for everyone who has taken the effort to write a question, because there's some very challenging questions there that have been written and really display an honest engagement with these issues that we're seeking to kind of address. So thank you for everyone who's written a question. The plan this morning is Nick and I do a tag preach. You've heard of tag wrestling. Well, hopefully it won't be like that. But I'm going to start off and pass the mic to Nick, and we're going to kind of do a kind of double act. But the very questions that we're looking at this morning means we want to be open. We don't want to give kind of trite, simplistic kind of one-line answers. And we're going to give our best shot at answering them. We're going to try and avoid the pitfall of being superficial. Time's obviously limited, so we're going to try and give a kind of 5-minute highlights of each one. We want to try and give some pointers that hopefully be helpful. And at the end, of course, we're happy for some feedback if there's things that we feel we need to talk about a bit more. I came to this church 20 years ago. When I came to this church 20 years ago, I was a new Christian. And after one of the meetings here, I met someone in the church, and they shared to me how they'd been struggling for a period of time with very serious depression. And I said something in response to them. I shared a scripture with them. I forgot about the conversation. Anyway, time moved on. They went somewhere else. They went left London, did something else. Many years later, about 17 years later, I bumped into this person again. When I met this person, they said to me that I had deeply offended them 17 years previously, because I'd given a trite kind of one-line scripture answer to something that was a deep problem for them. And I had no idea. I mean, in my naivety, my simplicity, I tried to kind of give a kind of little encouragement, but it didn't kind of hit the nail on the head, so to speak. And so I asked them to apologize, asked them to forgive me for that. We don't want to repeat that mistake this morning. And we want to acknowledge that many of the things in the Christian life are a mystery. And that God is far bigger than my understanding. Reading scriptures, God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. And yet, God does want to give us understanding. God does want to give us, by revelation, understanding of some things. So we're going to seek this morning to try and get a little bit of that. And if anything we touch on today, you want some feedback, then we're happy to do that. A lot of the issues that came up in those questions, we kind of grouped them together into sort of series of questions. There came up the issue about some issues around suffering, which we're not going to look at today. But next Sunday, we're going to look in going to look fully at this whole, because it's a big topic, not something you can kind of rush through, on the issue of suffering. We'll look at that next week. Also came up the issue of marriage, finding God's partner for your life. Again, not something just the kind of 5-minute answer. And so I want to look at that another time. This will give us time, hopefully this morning, give us maximum time for these questions. This is the first question we're looking at today that someone wrote. If you wrote this one, thank you. What if you receive a healing, it's total, but then it disappears after a time? This happened to me. I was healed, but it didn't last. The symptoms return after a week following giving a testimony of my healing. Now I'm fearful to ask for prayer. Either God healed me or he didn't. Good question. Very good question. Just by way of background, I'm going to speak on this first one a bit longer than 5 minutes. Some of the other ones are going to be a bit shorter, because I want to kind of set a bit of background. But I believe healing by medical means or by God's supernatural means is good news. In heaven, there's no sickness and there's no disease. And we see at the beginning of the Bible, God's original intention was that humankind live forever enjoying a relationship and a friendship with God. And that relationship wasn't to be interrupted by death or interrupted by anything like sickness or disease. So in that sense, I think sickness is never good news. No one ever wants to get sick. No one goes, ooh, great, I've got sick. But we also see that God does work in the middle of every situation in our lives. And if I am sick, God will work, and God does work in amazing ways through sickness in our lives. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the sickness was sent from God. And we're going to look at that in a bit more kind of clarity next week, because that's a big kind of topic. There's a lovely verse to kick off today, and I'll look at this question. here in the book of 3 John. And this is the Apostle John and Paul, and this is Paul, the Apostle John's prayer for his friends. He said, I pray that you may enjoy good health. There's something about good health which means we can serve God, we can live life, we can do what God intended us to do. And amazingly, God's programmed our bodies to repair themselves. We've got a wonderful immune system, a fantastic repair system in our body, all made by God. I think it's part of God's general grace to humankind that God's made us this way. I think it's also God's kindness to all of his creation that he's given wisdom to scientists, to doctors, to help in this body's natural healing process, to learn how to use medicines and surgery to restore us to health. I worked as a research chemist in the laboratory. Years ago, I worked for Glaxo, worked in their laboratories looking for new medicines. So I've been part of this scientific medical process. And I want to thank God for all the medical advances and the work of doctors and nurses and their abilities that God's given them to help us recover from sickness. And so I believe medical care is part of God's general grace to all of his humanity, to creation. And he's given us this ability to be able to find out things and invent ways of help making people better. The writer James said this, lovely verse in the book of James. He says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father, because on the Father of the heavenly lights. And it's talking about God giving good things. God's a God who gives good things. And so we've all benefited from medical care, intervention and treatment, and it's something to be really thankful for in all our lives. In addition to that, there's also God's desire to demonstrate his kindness in his power in specific supernatural ways, where he intervenes and heals people directly in what we would say supernatural healing. There's two kind of ways God does that, obvious ways God does that. The first is a process, that God works in a process of healing in our lives, and secondly, in a miracle of healing at a specific sort of time where God touches us powerfully and changes something. You know, in a process of healing, God intervenes in a condition and brings healing beyond what would be limited to natural recovery or beyond what would be expected with medical intervention. That could be a remission in a long-term illness, for example, something that could come back at any time, but by the grace of God, it doesn't come back. Now, someone could say, how do you know it's God? You've prayed, but it could just be coincidence that you're in remission from a sickness. I think what Nicky Gumbel says about answered prayer in the Alpha session on prayer is really helpful. He said this about prayer. He said, since becoming a Christian, I find it remarkable how many coincidences happen when we pray. And sure, I may have got better if I hadn't prayed, but when I pray and God answers me time and time again, I join Nicky Gumbel in thinking it's remarkable how many so-called coincidences happen when we pray. I think it's important to thank God however and whenever he answers our prayers. But I think we do need wisdom as to how we relate our stories of answer to prayer to other people. We need God's wisdom to know exactly what to say. We don't want to miss an opportunity to give God credit and give God glory. But on the other hand, we don't want to give someone an opportunity who isn't a Christian to dismiss God because they could say, well, your testimony of healing is a process, and they could explain it away. So we really need wisdom. I think if you look in the Bible, that what you see there is the healings that are recounted in the Bible are miraculous kinds. Now, people can always doubt a miracle. They can always, and people did doubt the miracles of Jesus, but it's much harder to dismiss a supernatural healing and miracle of God. I think personally, and in our own hearts, that it's really important to thank God for every improvement, every recovery as a result of prayer. And let's pray for whatever measure of healing we have faith for. I think if I'm going to advertise God's healing power, then I want to give a testimony of what God's done that I could share with others. And so it can be good, if God's done something in my life, it can be good to wait to see what the lasting impact is on my life of what I feel God's done as a result of prayer. Around 8 years ago, I had a pain down here in my side, pain in the side. And this pain in the side was constant, it was nagging, and it went on for 18 months. And it got on and on and on. So I went to the doctors, I went to the hospital, I had investigations, and couldn't get to the bottom of what this problem was. One meeting here in New Life, two people here in the church laid hands on me, prayed for me, and as they prayed for me, I instantaneously felt something leave my body. It was as though something in here left out of my body. And from that instantaneous moment, I knew I was better, and I have been better for 8 years. That was a specific lasting healing from God. But I also suffer from migraines, and I've prayed many times for my migraines, and many people have prayed for my migraines. I take strong medication when I get a migraine, for which I'm very grateful. One Thursday evening, I had a migraine just before the Alpha course started in our house. And so I'd taken this strong medication, laid down upstairs, and people started to arrive for the Alpha course. And as people came in there, I could hear what was going on downstairs. And that evening, I was feeling so ill, I couldn't raise my head off the floor to go downstairs. And I was doing the Alpha talk that night. So I thought, what am I going to do? And Shushu, thankfully, was doing a testimony, which everyone was really enjoying that. Because when it came to the end of the testimony, there was going to be the Alpha talk, and there was I upstairs lying on the floor, feeling really, really ill. And people had been praying for me. My son had prayed for me. Other people had prayed for me. And suddenly, remarkably, I suddenly felt a surge of energy, a surge of healing, a sense where I could get up. I went downstairs, did the talk. I don't know whether any people in the room at the talk knew what had happened. But I felt fine. I was able to give the talk. I then finished the talk, went back upstairs and carried on being ill. Now, I wouldn't use that example as because, I mean, I believe it was God. I believe my son prayed for me, and I believe God gave me the grace. But it's one of those things where some people could say, well, you know, it was just the medication kicked in. You were just lucky. You were just fortunate. Now, as I said, people can say when you pray, it's just a coincidence. But I know in my heart, for me, that God helped me at that time. But if I was going to use a testimony of how, where God had done something in my life, of my first experience of where something that happened, it was instantaneous, it was clearly God as a result of prayer, something happened, and it's been lasting for 8 years, that's the one I'd want to use. And because it points clearly, it's a signpost pointing to the power of God, pointing to the fact that God is a good God, He wants to intervene in our life. Now the other one, I believe was God answering my prayer, absolutely. But in terms of wanting to share it with other people, I wouldn't do that for those reasons. So if you're taking tablets and praying as well and get better, praise God. Fantastic. Brilliant. I don't think it's either God or the doctor, because God's given us His general grace through medicine and His specific grace through the power of Jesus. But I think it's good just to be honest in our testimony. Well, if we're wanting to give something that points to God, that it clearly does point to God. So I want to address this question that we had. That's by way of background. And I've lost the question. Here it is. Okay, the question is, what happens if I prayed for healing, God healed me for a week, and then the symptoms came back, and now I'm afraid to ask for prayer again? Well, just to kick off with that one, there's a great scripture that illustrates something very powerful in Mark 8. Jesus prayed for a man who was blind. Jesus spat on the soil, spat on his eyes, put some saliva on his eyes. And Jesus prayed for him, and he said to the man, after Jesus prayed, Jesus said, do you see anything? The man looked up and says, I see people walking like trees. He got a measure of healing. In other words, he wasn't healed fully. He saw kind of something. I mean, if you close your eyes and sort of squint, you can imagine what he saw. Jesus prayed, this man received a measure of healing. What did Jesus do? Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. He prayed again. He laid hands on it a second time. The fact that he prayed for him a first time and he wasn't fully healed, Jesus didn't walk away and say, well, I'm sorry, I prayed for you once, that's it now. Jesus prayed for him, he received a measure of healing, and then Jesus prayed for him a second time. I don't think it's wrong, it's a problem if I've received some measure of healing to ask for prayer again. I don't think that if Jesus, the Son of God himself, walking in the power of God, prayed for this man twice, it's not a problem to ask for. So if someone says, like, I pray for you once, that's it. if we've been prayed for, let's pray again. Let's ask that God will continue this process. God will do more. There's no harm in asking for more. So if we pray for healing and God gives us a measure of healing, thank God. But I wanted us to remember that supernatural healing, that we receive it by faith, because we receive it by faith, we also keep it by faith. And so if God does something in my life I receive by faith, then Jesus said that the devil is a liar, a robber, and a thief. Look at this scripture in John 10. Jesus said, talk about the devil. The devil, the thief, comes to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to steal our health away from us. Remember the thing we looked in 3 John to start with, in Book of 3 John, he says, I pray you may enjoy good health. Good health is good. We all want good health. The devil wants to come and steal and rob and destroy. Do you remember the woman who was bent with infirmity? And Jesus, when they came to this woman, Jesus said that Satan had kept her in that condition for 18 years. The devil had put that sickness upon her. And Jesus healed her and she was healed. She took that sickness off her. Lovely verse in the book of 1 John where it says Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. The thing the devil wants to do, Jesus came to undo, to reverse it, as he did for that woman. And so I think what we receive by faith, if we receive something by faith, then I've got to, in my heart, I've got to keep it so that the devil doesn't come and steal, kill and destroy whatever it is that I've received by faith. Because Jesus wants us to have life and have it to the full. We looked last week at the shield of faith. Remember we talked about the shield of faith and how that shield is a protection over my life and the life of others. And how that shield's powerful in protecting my life against everything that the devil wants to come and do to try and rob and tear and take out of my life. And so I think faith is, on an ongoing basis in terms of our health, faith is very important. Perseverance. The last thing I was going to say on this thing is the thing about perseverance. There's a lovely verse in Hebrews chapter 6 where the writer of the Hebrews says, imitate those who through faith and perseverance, is the word that's used there, faith and perseverance inherit God's promises. There's a sense God's got good things for us, but we get hold of them, we inherit them, they become ours as we persevere and we push into those things. So one of the things I feel in my life is if God's given me healing, like I just recounted this healing in my side that I just shared with you, it's important I keep in faith thanking God for it and persevering and pushing into all that God's given me. I've kind of opened up a few issues there and kind of left them open deliberately because we're going to come back to them later on in the next kind of questions. Nick, I'll tag over to you for the next thing.
One of the things that I like about God is that we can be absolutely real with him. It's a terrible state of affairs where we feel we have to pretend about things. So let me tell you, I took a couple of Anadin before the meeting. I felt a headache coming on. And I'm a person that I used to have terrible migraines, a bit like Paul did. I'm not saying I'm better than Paul because I've got through them. But actually, in a way, because of what God's done in my life, in the particular, it was like the kind of stress, the personal stress that I gave myself. If ever I went to visit a minister or a pastor or something, I often found I got a headache. I wasn't conscious, but underneath I was trying to kind of be something. I was trying really hard to kind of put on a good spiritual image. And inevitably I got a headache. And after a few times I just kind of realized what it was. And I think just as I've just received God's love and just realized that he just wants me to just be myself, that he is quite happy with the way he's made me. I don't have to try to be anybody else. That's taken that stress off my life, that I just don't get those kind of headaches anymore. Having said that, I find that if I'm right now I have a very busy life with all sorts of things going on, all sorts of battles to fight on different fronts. And I often find, or I quite often find, that on Saturday morning I get a Saturday morning headache. And that's because I've gone like mad through the week, and then suddenly Saturday morning, boof, I relax. And I find that sometimes I get a headache. And sometimes I can get through that just by spending time with God and just that the peace of God relaxing me. And sometimes, thank God for anodym. Okay? And why not? We should thank God for everything. There's a very interesting little story by Smith Wigglesworth in his book on healing. And he talks about a woman who she thought that God wanted to heal her eyes. And so she said to him, to Smith Wigglesworth, "I'm trusting God for my eyes." And he said, "Well, that's fine. You know, how long have you been trusting God for?" And she said, "Several weeks." And this was causing her serious reading difficulties. And so he said to her, "Well, look," he said, "let's do this." He said, and the chapter in the book's called Common Sense. He said, "Let's pray, and if God, wants you to buy some reading glasses, then it was teeth, I think, and I should have brought the book with me, shouldn't I?" But he said, "Let's pray that God will provide one way or the other." And just when the period of time that she'd allowed for God to answer her prayer, somebody sent exactly the right amount of money for a set of false teeth. Hallelujah. And God provided in that way, and we can be relaxed in that. But let's realize that supernatural healing and the power of God is something very powerful in our lives, in our testimony, and in evangelism, and that we should still desire the gifts of the Spirit, and yet thank God for His natural provision. As Paul says, you know, God heals you through going to the doctor, or whether He heals you through His supernatural provision, let's thank God for either, because God is a good God and He is against sickness. That's, to me, is what the Bible teaches. First question, and like Paul, I might just take a little bit longer over this and then whiz through one of the other ones. I've only got three questions to answer. One thing that holds me back from praying for people, as well as nervousness and embarrassment and fear, is I'm worried that I'll weaken their faith or turn them against God if I pray for my friend who's blind and I ask God to heal him, actually pray aloud over him. And if God doesn't heal him, won't my friend, who isn't a Christian, doubt that God is real, or even use this as a proof that our faith is a waste of time? I don't doubt that God can and did and does heal, but if He doesn't sometimes, won't the people I pray for turn away? And I know this is a very genuine question from somebody who spends their life reaching out to those who don't know Jesus. This person is worried that if they pray and something doesn't happen, then won't they just turn on God? And so it's a very valid and real question, and it raises one or two issues. The first thing I said, Jesus said, "I only do the things I see my Father doing." That's the way that Jesus operated. He walked close to His Father. He actually also said, "I only speak the things that I hear Him speaking to me." And so Jesus didn't walk independent of His Father praying for the sick with an innate power that He had within Himself. As a man, He limited Himself to the way that we would have to walk with God. And so Jesus only had a measure of knowledge, I believe, only a measure of wisdom, only a measure of God's power that He needed day by day. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And he, as a man, showed that we have to depend on God 100%. And so as he walked about, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, and the words of power that he used to release people, he was receiving from God all the time in a stream of revelation and words. And when we're in a situation to pray for someone, then immediately, certainly my immediate reaction is, God. And we're looking upwards, and we're seeking to see what he's doing and hear what he's saying. And when God speaks and when we see something, it makes it a lot easier to pray, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the specific word from God. So I think we don't have to feel that there's a blind person there and I'm supposed to heal them or anything like that. I think we need to be alert to the promptings of God, and we need to learn to walk with God. And that's the challenge for each one of us. God's leading is often not very clear. Often it's an urge. It's an impression. How many people are there that have prayed for someone and they know God's going to heal them? There are times where, you know, it does seem like that you know. And I would say that is the gift of faith. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gift of the Spirit, which the Spirit distributes as he wills. Not as we will, but as he wills. And sometimes God blesses us with a gift of faith when we know something's going to happen as the result of our prayer. And praise God for that. But that's a gift that is distributed as he wills. There's another kind of faith, which is the fruit of the Spirit. I think it's something like, I wouldn't like to say, I've actually got the statistic in my notes, but I've not got them up here. But all the times that the Bible translates the Greek word pistis as faith, and once in the fruit of the Spirit, many translations translate that as faithfulness. But I believe that the weight of Scripture and the translations show us that is faith. That faith is both a gift and a fruit of the Spirit. And as we're walking with God, we learn to have more faith. When people of God come to my home, and people that God is using, and they go away, I know that my level of faith has increased, because there's something about their walk of God and their faith that rubs off on me. Because faith is a spiritual thing that comes from God. You cannot work it up. It comes from God. So I would encourage you to learn to walk with God and to hear from him. Learn in your cell group. Listen out. Listen to the Spirit. The cell group is a great practice ground for listening to God. Pray that he'll give you gifts of the Spirit. It's right to desire those gifts. And then be open and step out on those impressions. Because normally there's a risk involved. John Wimber said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Faith is spelled risk. Often there is a risk to ourselves. When I prayed for people, I told the story earlier about how a woman in the office, in the place where I was working, in a student's hostel, she had something wrong with her. I can't remember what it was. What I do remember was that I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? I prayed for her. I don't remember anything happening, but I do remember being embarrassed because another member of staff walked in and I said, just praying for Edna. It was in my working hours as well. But, you know, so what? If we get a bit embarrassed, there's a bit of cost on our side. Let's not worry about it. And I believe that we can trust God to look after the reactions of others when we pray for them. To be honest, if you went up to your friend in the workplace and said, would you mind if I prayed for you about this? They probably would have little or no expectation of being healed. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. A lot of people, they'll go to a healing service in a church because, well, maybe there's a chance. So let's not worry. Let's step out. Let's pray for people. And as we do, I believe God will honor that and start to move. So don't wait for the perfect moment. Some of the greatest people of God that God's used in healing started off in failure rather than success. There's a very humorous man called Harry Greenwood, and he often told how all the people that he prayed for to start with died. Now, let me tell you, they didn't die as a result of his prayers, but they were already in a place where they were going to die unless God did something very special. And he put himself in that position. But he went on, and in the end, it started to happen. I just wanted to read out very quickly and just finish with this on this question, story of John Wimber. I find this one of the most encouraging parts of this book when he talks about their own church. And he preached on healing for 10 months. He prayed for the sick, and nothing happened. Okay, but he didn't give in. Hallelujah. Through this 10-month period, I became aware of another dimension of Christian growth, an exercise of faith for miracles such as healing, words of knowledge, and so on. Perhaps this is the faith described of in 1 Corinthians 12:9. Key to this was learning how to know when God's unction or anointing has come for a task like healing in a particular situation. That's what I'm saying. We need to learn to walk with God. Emphasis on doctrinal knowledge and character development is good. This other dimension of Christian growth adds much more. This was a difficult lesson for me to learn, which explains why nothing happened for many months. At the end of this 10-month period, when I was at my lowest point, a woman was healed. Her husband had called, asking me to come and pray for her. She was very ill. The healing occurred after I prayed for her and had begun a well-rehearsed explanation to her husband about why she probably wouldn't be healed. So, man of God, full of faith here, ready for her not to be healed. As he said, during my explanation, she got out of bed, completely whole again. This began a trickle that soon became a steady stream. Today we see hundreds of people healed every month in Vineyard Christian Fellowship services. Praise God. There was a price to pay. And my point is, let's not give up. Let's trust God. Let's try and walk with him and hear. And let's expect God to do more healing in our lives. Paul.
Great, thank you. The next question, in fact, it was two questions, but the questions are kind of related, so I put them together. This is the question, if you think you have a gift of healing, how do you go about beginning to use it? Any recommended reading, that should say reading, not healing, reading, healing as well, but reading. How specific is the gift of healing? Could it be, for example, a gift for speaking to people, bringing healing into their lives, or is it always general? So let's look at some things about the gift of healing. One of the things, first of all, I believe is every Christian has the ability to pray for other people. That every Christian, I've lost my, over here. In Mark chapter 16, it says, these signs will accompany those who believe. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. And all believers, everyone who follows Jesus has the opportunity to pray for people who aren't well, who are sick. And we also read in the book of James, says this, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And every Sunday I bring a bottle of healing oil, so we're ready. And if you would like prayer, we're always glad to do that. I put that into practice, to pray over you. But this particularly, the question was relating to gift of healing. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 9, Paul mentions this, Paul mentions it as gifts. It's a plural word. It's not a singular. It's not a gift of healing. There isn't a gift of healing. There are gifts. It's a plural package. It's a whole series of different gifts. And most people, most commentators looking at that passage Paul wrote, feel that Paul, that gift, that list of gifts that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12 are illustrative rather than them being exhaustive. In other words, it's not just, there's loads of gifts, and that's just, Paul's just picking out some. And gifts of healing is a whole category, I believe, of different healings. We need healing for our minds. We need healing for our heart. We need healing for our emotions. We need healing for our bodies. You know, God's made us as whole people, and we so need God's healing power in all different aspects of our lives. And so, you know, I think that these gifts of healing, they're distributed, as Paul explains in 1 Corinthians, they're distributed by the Holy Spirit. God gives different people different gifts. And so different people may have specific callings, specific gifts to pray in different areas for a particular type of physical illness or particular healing in terms of our minds or our hearts or our wills. There's all kinds of scope in terms of healing. And, you know, in terms of this question that was asked about healing, just to specifically kind of answer that, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are distributed according to the will of the Holy Spirit. So where is it says in the Bible to earnestly seek the gifts, to desire the gifts, to look for these gifts, actually, that I can't kind of just demand them all. It's God who gives these things. And so in response to that question, I think first of all, what I'd say is I'd pray, I'd go to God and ask for God to show me, to teach me what gifts. What's the scope of this gift? If you feel in your heart God has given you one of the gifts of healing, what's the scope of it? What's the kind of area that you may feel God wants to use that gift in? And it's important to study the Bible, to really do a good search, good dig in the Bible to find what are the scope of this? What are the examples of how people have been healed in different areas? Over on the information point, I put a little reading list, just a few books. This person asked here for recommended reading, not healing, reading. And so there's a list of a few books over there that could be a good place to kind of read, good things to read. Also think it's opportunity to asking God for opportunities to step out. If you feel God's given you a particular gift to pray in a particular area, ask God for opportunities. I say, God, please give me those opportunities to grow. And we can start small. We can start just off with the things that are around us, with our family, our friends, people around us. Our cell group, as Nick was saying earlier, I think our cell group is great because it's in a loving, accepting environment where we can learn with each other. And I've made mistakes, and I'm sure you've made mistakes too. But in a loving, caring environment, we can learn with each other, and gives us that opportunity. I think it's important if you feel God's given you a gift of healing, not to put the person who you're praying for under pressure. So if I'm praying for someone, what I mustn't do is kind of, but in any sense imply if I pray for them and nothing happens that it's their fault or there's something wrong with their faith. Or I'm coming to pray for you because I believe God wants me to grow in this whole area in terms of this gift of healing. So I think it's very important to be very soft and gentle and very supportive if we're praying for someone else. It's very, very important that if I feel I've got the gift, it's up to me then to make sure that gift is operated for me to step out and not to place any kind of pressure at all on someone else that I'm praying for. And lastly, I just think it's important, the point Nick was making, to persevere. If you feel in the bottom of your heart, yes, God's given me something there. I've seen gifts in my life grow over a period of time as I haven't given up. Now, God may have spoken to you years ago, and you may have been someone God may have spoken to, that God has given you some gift of healing, but you may have done nothing about it, or tried, nothing happened, and given up. And the only way that we can move ahead in any of these gifts is by starting small, praying, and stepping out, and asking God to grow us and lead us in these gifts. Nick, back to you.